Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of our Lutheran pastors received a call from a group that wanted to take a survey about his church. It started with the usual demographic questions, but then some of the questions, in his opinion, became quite silly. How often do you teach the members of your congregation to be kind to other Christians? How often do you teach the members of your congregation to be kind to the unchurched? As he repeatedly told the young lady, I couldn't answer those types of questions. I generally don't preach specific sermons on being kind to each other or the unchurched, because it's what we do as faithful Christians. He continued, that's not to say we don't need reminders to be kind. Sometimes we do. But one goal of every sermon I preach is to remind God's people that they're different than unbelievers around them, and this encompasses their entire life. Once you were like unbelievers, you were darkness, but no longer. Now you've been called by God, and this means that you are a child of light. I'm sure many of you remember Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report on TV. Colbert was interviewing Bart Ehrman, a respected New Testament scholar who studied under F.F. Bruce, an even more respected New Testament scholar. Ehrman had expressed doubts about Jesus' divinity in his writings. He had questioned the very scriptures he had spent his life studying, which caused a whiplash in the Christian scholarly community. Colbert asked him a brilliant question. He said, "What is the son of a duck?" The answer being, of course, a duck. Paul is drawing a similarly obvious familial connection here. If the Ephesians, if we are in the Lord, then they and we are children of God and children of light. Light is the nature of our identity, and that should determine how we walk about. In other words, how we live, what we think, feel, say, and do. I believe it is a fundamental error to treat Christians as if they were still complete unbelievers. Look at what Paul does in the epistle for today. A few verses before our reading, Paul had listed what the Ephesian Christians used to be: immoral, covetous, impure, crude jokers, and filthy-minded. He brings this up because what they were was a problem. Paul is asserting without compromise, those who live in this way are not saved. Paul says that they have, quote, no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. This sounds harsh, and it is, but it's also true. Those who do not believe are, as Paul describes, darkness. They're not in the dark, but they're actually darkness because they're lacking the light of Christ. The Ephesian Christians were like any other unbeliever before, but now they're different. Paul says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." When these Ephesians were brought to faith, they were enlightened by Christ. He dispelled the darkness of their hearts and minds and souls. He shone his light into their lives, and he showed them a new way of life, a life centered on him. The verse in quotations toward the end of this passage is unknown in Scripture. Possibly it was part of his baptismal liturgy. Paul recites it because it is dead on. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It describes how Christ awakens people with his light and gives them life. One of the questions that the young lady asked the pastor, mentioned at the beginning, was, how often do you ask people to make a commitment to Christ? He told her, never. He continued, I explained, maybe more than she wanted to hear, that we don't make a commitment to Jesus. He makes one to us. And that's why we're changed. Not because we decided to change, but because he changed us. He is the light of the world, God's one and only Son, our Savior. He came to a dark, dark world, preaching the gospel, preaching light to darkened souls. In the gospel for today, he opened the eyes of the blind man and gave him sight. But he did so much more than that. Did you catch what happened when he met Jesus the second time? He fell down and worshiped him. This is the result of a shining light piercing the darkness of sin and unbelief. This man would never again be the same, and not just because he was given sight, but because Christ had given him light. God's light changes people. All of this would have been for nothing had Jesus not continued his ministry of light by dying on the cross and plunging the world into darkness. The light of the world was extinguished ever so briefly to show the extent of God's wrath on sin and unbelief. The darkness was thick and impenetrable for 3 hours. And then the sun came out. This sunlight, though, paled in comparison to the light of the risen Christ 3 days later. That light will never again be extinguished or darkened, and it is that light which shines in you. Paul's words were written a very long time ago, but the truth of his message hasn't changed. And this is what I want you to know today. Because of the darkness in which you once lived, you were destined to be shut out of heaven. You were darkness. You had no right to the inheritance waiting in heaven. But that's not true anymore. You've been brought to faith, so you are no longer darkness. You are light. The light of Christ has been laser-like focused on your dark lives, and he has opened your eyes to his light, which gives life and which gives you the inheritance of the kingdom of God. It's all yours. No ifs, no ands, no buts. His light gives you forgiveness and a new existence even now. Paul puts it this way, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Once upon a time you were unaware of your sin. Once upon a time you were oblivious of God's desires. Those days are gone. You can now see your sin. You know when you've sinned, but that's not the end of it. You can also see that you are forgiven, and now you know what is well-pleasing in God's eyes. The devil, of course, wants you to walk in darkness and to embrace what you once were, just like he was tempting the Ephesians to do. Christ, though, enables you to walk in light, and he walks with you. He walks with you to reveal his perfect goodness, righteousness, and truth that is now in you. His death and resurrection has changed you, and he has done it all. And now you demonstrate the fruit of his light in the way that you live. To be the light means that our walk in this life is different. If you live in the dark, you will stumble and fall. Imagine for a minute what it would be like to be blind in a new city, but not have a cane, a dog, or a companion. It would be a terrible experience. But when you can see, when you walk in the light, you know you're going to be safe. Fear is dispelled, and not the devil, a virus, a persecution of any type will be able to take that light and life away from you. This is why Paul says, "Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness." We must remember that there is no Christian twilight where dark and light coexist. We can't walk in light and dark. We walk only as children of light, as we seek what is good, right, and true. It's not easy, but the Holy Spirit leads us to God's Word, where we can discern how God wants us to live. We no longer embrace the activities of the dark. Rather, we expose them for what they are, death and destruction. We shine the light of Christ as we expose the practices of darkness, the abuse of the innocent, and the mistreatment of the vulnerable. We expose the evil of this world for what it is, and the damage it is doing to our children and to future generations. We live as children of the light really for two reasons. First, so that God's light in us might chastise those still in the dark. This chastisement is not our doing, but God's. By walking in the light, we pray that they will see the darkness of their lives and come to know Jesus as the one who offers them the same light that shines in us. The same light that changed the way we live. No longer groping in the darkness, no longer living in the twilight of relativism, but walking in goodness, righteousness, and truth. We also walk as children of the light in order to support and encourage other Christians in their walk. We want our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to know they are not alone, that not only are we with them, but Jesus continues to shine his light on them. By his grace, we all walk in the light, and by his grace, we will never again live in the dark. Having reflected on the pastor's conversation with the woman on the phone, I guess I have sort of told you to be nice to others. But there's so much more to it than that, and I hope you've heard it. Jesus has shone the light of forgiveness on you, and now you are the children of light. This means, yes, we are nice to others, but more than that, our entire lives are different. We show our light not to display how wonderful we are, but to show how wonderful God is. As St. Peter said in his first letter, "Let your light shine so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This is what we do, and may God grant us his grace to always shine the light he has given to us. Amen.